What's going on, everybody? Mark here with another episode of CCO's The Science of Fishing. We have a great episode today with Seymour Mapping. Guys, Connor's here. Thanks for coming, Connor. Yeah,
man. Happy to be here. Excited to be here. Finally get going. Awesome to be down here.
You've landed on CCO's The Science of Fishing, where passion meets precision. Hold on tight as we dive in. But before we do, we would like to thank Sea Mule and Black Reef Co. for sponsoring this episode.
Thanks for coming, man. It's absolutely a pleasure.
You've landed on CCO's
Seymour Mapping. A lot of people use it, right?
Where passion meets precision.
What does it really do, man? Can you kind of give us the history?
Yeah, but before we do, we would like to thank Sea Mule and Black Reef Co. for sponsoring this episode. It's just changing the game in general for your avid boater. Our charts are high-resolution 3D mapping charts of the ocean floor. And with our charts, you can see everything from a coral head in 10 feet of water to a deep drop spot to a sword ground spot to a full functioning shipwreck in 3D.
Wow.
And with Seymour Maps, it not only allows you to get directly on top of the spot, but it will set up your drifts, whatever type of fishing, diving you're doing. It's just going to elevate your game and bring your bottom fishing game, deep drop game to the next level. With our charts.
That's pretty sweet, man. So you're able to see kind of the relief, the shading, yes. Kind of where the ledges are. Yes. If you're diving or, you know, if you're on a wreck, you can kind of see the whole boat,
you
right?
You can see the whole boat as it sits from bow to stern. And that just not allows you for whatever type of fishing you're doing, whether you're the vertical jigging is blowing up right now and
yeah.
Slow pitch jigging. And when you're vertical jigging a wreck, yes, you want to be on top of the wreck, near the wreck, but guys are dropping their jigs. They're $20, $30 jigs right on the wreck, and they're actually hooking the wreck. And I talk to a lot of divers. There's a couple YouTubers who I literally see them on YouTube, and they're pulling vertical jigs off the wreck because
that's
people
crazy.
Are getting caught on it. And whatever type of, yes, fishing, whatever fishing you're doing varies, but with vertical jigging and slow pitch jigging, you kind of want to be on the side of the wreck or near the wreck, and that you don't want to literally drop right on top of it. And I talked to a lot of guys in Seymour. You can set up a drift. If a boat's sitting north and south, east and west, you can see that on Seymour Maps, and you can kind of position your boat angle and get a perfect drift to the side of it, behind it, and have more success and not hook the wreck.
Right. How accurate is the map? Like, is it like, you know, GPS if you're like 5 feet off, or is it?
Pinpoint accuracy.
Okay.
Pinpoint accuracy. So that's what a real big factor in our charts is. Guys have waypoints they've been fishing for years, and nothing wrong with that. A lot of old school guys out there, they fish those waypoints. But with Seymour, when you put our charts in your chart plotter, your waypoints will still pop up. But with Seymour, now you actually see where that spot really is. And
right.
that's such a game changer. I've been fishing and diving South Florida my whole life. I'm born and raised in Palm Beach, and using waypoints that have been passed down from my grandfather, my father, we still use those waypoints.
Right.
But now with Seymour, I can see which way that reef goes, where it breaks off, where it stops, where that wreck actually is. Because if you look at any public number wreck charts, any online websites, the wreck, it's going to show you the general area if it's a public number, mm-hmm. but it's not pinpoint accuracy.
Right.
And with Seymour, there's even wrecks up the coast that are covered up, that are gone. You don't even see them anymore from storms. And that's another thing with our charts is we're constantly updating our charts. So it's not only privately mapped data, which we'll get into, but it's up-to-date charts.
Right.
So it's complete game-changing technology.
So before we kind of get into the private data, as you were just saying, mm-hmm. you guys have a few boats that you use to also gather yep. information, right? You guys use your own technology.
We collect our own data with our own boats.
Okay.
Yeah. We have we just got a new flagship 34 Parker. It's pretty much, it's called Uncharted. It's a pretty cool name for it.
Yeah.
Brand new Gyro 3 stabilizer. What's the name of it?
Seakeeper
in it. Yeah. Yeah. We just installed that. So that helps when it gets rough and stuff. But basically it's a 34 Parker. It's crazy inside with technology, four different computers, Raymarine, Simrads, radar, autopilot, of course. But we're scanning the ocean floor with a fixed-mounted sonar on the side of the boat. Plus, we also drop we use LiDAR technology from aerial, which we'll get into. But the fixed-mounted sonar, it's an R2 Sonic multi-beam sonar. Very high end.
That sounds like a different language, dude.
Yeah, it's, the mapping team and the mapping technology. The owner, he has that background, and it's game changing stuff. But that allows us to scan waters in 10, 15 feet of water all the way out to 2,000-3,000 feet.
Yeah,
and we can spot map certain areas for certain customers. We offer privately mapped data. For customers, you can map your own area.
Oh, wow.
That's available on our website. You can contact our team. We do that from time to time. But yeah, we have our own boats that go out and collect the data, and we compile that data on our charts, which makes us different from any other chart, because we have not only compiled NOAA data that's up to date, but we have privately mapped data nobody else has except Seymour customers.
And you guys have that throughout the country, right?
Throughout the country, Southern California, all the way up to the coast of Maine.
That's crazy. So you guys have the coasts covered, and
we have
and the Bahamas.
We released that last February, so we have 13 different regions all across the country and the Bahamas. And our software is on a micro SD chip that you'll just insert into your chart plotter, and our data overlays right on top of your map. It shows your boat icon as it normally would, but our data is underlined under it, and you can just see shipwrecks, coral heads, trenches, and 1,200 feet of water for sword fishing in real time.
So is it really, you know, some guys may get intimidated by, I'm putting in a new chip in my computer. Do I have to program? Do I have to do all this and that? Nope. How easy is this?
We do it for you. Essentially, it's plug and play. We tell our customers, you purchase the chip from us for your specific region. A lot of guys are running multiple chips. These guys.
Really?
Guys with Freeman Sporties, they're fishing, and they're in Stewart. And we have cutoffs. There's areas where our South Florida chart, for example, covers Vero Beach all the way down through Key West. That's our most extensive chart. It's on version 4. It's constantly being updated. And just north of Vero are North Florida, Georgia, South Carolina card starts. And we just changed the name to South Atlantic. We did an update May 9th, we came out with that update, and huge expansion out of Canaveral, Jacksonville, Georgia, Savannah, all the way up to Charleston, South Carolina. So there's guys that are running that chart, the Bahamas chart, the South Florida chart. We have a Southwest Florida chart, which starts at Key West, goes through the backside of the Marquesas, Tortugas, and then Pulley Ridge.
Goes all the way to Pulley Ridge. Goes
all the way to Pulley Ridge.
Wow. Yeah. That's like 100-something plus miles.
140 miles from Key West.
You guys got maps all the way.
We have maps all the way out there for guys fishing the bank, for bottom fishing, for muttons and grouper, to all the way out. I talk to a lot of commercial guys that use our charts. They know their spots, these commercial guys. They've been fishing, and they've worked hard for these spots. But Seymour, people get mad about, like, our charts are ruining fishing and stuff. But I look at it a completely different way. It opens up a whole new level of guys that fish the same areas. Fishing in general, diving fishing, people do not like to change. They like to do their own thing. And with Seymour, it's going to allow you to see what you've been actually fishing, but find new spots.
Right.
New isolated spots, no one's going to, less pressured, and that's going to equal more fish.
Yeah, it's kind of almost conservation in a sense where, like, you're spreading the wealth instead of everybody just on one little spot.
Exactly, and there's a lot of YouTube videos where guys will fish a scattered number of public wrecks, but you'll know this guy has Seymour because he's way over here by himself fishing one little rock.
Yeah,
and when I show and explain the charts to people, and when they you look at the Straits of Florida, you have reef lines going north and south along the beach, and awesome bottom fishing there. Good relief, there's wrecks in between those areas, but it gets pressure. Everybody knows about them. People are pulling planers back and forth, doing W's and zigzags, but the stuff off the reef is where Seymour really shines. It's the isolated stuff.
Yeah.
That you go back to a normal chart plotter, you just have an X there, and you have wind direction, you have currents, you just have that X can be off a little bit. And with Seymour, now you can see that little isolated spot, set up your drift down current, and get a perfect drift right over it. And that's what's going to lead to more fish.
I was going to say, I've been out, I have Seymour on my boat, and dude, I've hit spots that I've never hit deep dropping, and we've pulled up vermilion snappers and, you know, freaking snowy groupers and stuff. And I'm like, what the heck? The biggest black belly rose fish I've ever caught was using Seymour on a slow current day. We were just out there, dropped down. We're like, let's see what's on this ledge. massive black belly roses, really? Dude. And I was like, whoa. And we've hooked into swordfish using your stuff. Yep, like, it's awesome, man. Yep. I mean, so what sets apart Seymour from the competitors, though, for those people that are wondering, you know, you guys got Strikeline, you guys got a few different guys. I don't want to call people out, but
yeah, there's definitely some other chart companies out of there. We brought this to the market. We started this back in 2017. And what sets us apart is not only the privately mapped data, but we're also we're constantly mapping new areas and expanding our charts with updates. No other chart company you get updates every year. We usually do updates every 1 to 2 years. We have 13 different regions, but now with our multiple mapping team and boats going, we can collect a lot of data faster and faster. And South Florida version 4, for example, when I first started working here back in 2020, we were on South Florida version 2, covered around Palm Beach, maybe a little bit of the lower Keys. Now we're on version 4, which covers Key West all the way up to Vero Beach. It's fully loaded. There's still areas that are not mapped and not filled in, but that's where we're constantly mapping new areas. And I have a Garmin in the office, and our charts do not work with Garmin, but I have a Garmin for the Simrad processor, which we'll get into. Yep. But we put the Garmin G3 Vision chart in there, and guys come in and they try to argue. They want to see a comparison, and I show them. And I've made a lot of YouTube videos, Instagram reels of our charts versus their charts. And Garmin's charts and everyone else, they're using compiled NOAA data that's outdated, it's outsourced, it's not high resolution. You go out of Boca Inlet, you go out, I don't know, 3 miles, I want to say it is, the Hydro Atlantic. It's a pretty popular wreck. Everyone knows about it. People troll Wahoo lures and plugs around it. Guys dive it for Wahoo and pelagics. On Garmin's chart, it doesn't show anything. It shows a blob, and it says the Hydro Atlantic. It says it twice. It's not even somewhat close to accurate. So that's what you're getting with those charts. But with Seymour, we went out and mapped that area. No one in the world has that except us.
Okay.
So that's what kind of sets us apart. And when you talk to us, we all fish and dive. Everyone from the owner of the company down to the service guys. We live and breed it. We can relate with the customers.
Right.
And that's what you get with Seymour. You get not only the highest resolution privately mapped data, but you get top of the line customer service, and it's just a badass chart.
Yeah, you guys are always out there making sure that it's the best top of the line, and you guys are at the forefront of the next little ledge that comes up.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
And we tested. We go to the Bahamas as a team. The owner of the company, he's really cool, Eric Anderson. He started this company back in 2017. And he has a 33 conch of his own that we've run over to the Bahamas. We've run it down to the Keys. And we go out and use Seymour. We really cool story. We did a tuna tournament a couple months ago for a local guy up in Boca, Kyle Shea. His late girlfriend passed away a couple years ago. And he's been running this awesome event every year. And he came into the store. He had, a 20-foot sea craft on his truck. He was going down to the Keys with some friends. Came in the store, picked up a South Florida card, and I remember I walked out with him, and I installed it for him. I just turned on the appropriate settings, and he was like, "Hey, you should sponsor or join the tournament with us." And I'd say, "I'd love to. Like, let me talk to the owner." I gave Eric a call. He was like, "Let's do it." He signed us up for it was in end of July, and it was in West End. It was a tuna tournament, and there's a lot of the Lighthouse Point guys, the scales gear guys. They go all over there and tuna fish every weekend. So, Eric Anderson, he's from St. Augustine. So he knows how to run out there and look for tuna. It was rough. We were having a good time. We were diving. A lot of the guys are divers on the team. I'm a level 3 free diver. John Redman, the national account manager, he has a house down in the Keys. He's a big diver. Eric Anderson, the owner, he's a big diver. But we also fish. We have avid fishermen on the team. Yep. I've been fishing my whole life, but anyways, we went over there. We were like, all right, we're gonna tuna fish. We got all the gear. We got all the wind-ons. We had pallets of sardines, and we fit right in. We came over there in a 33 conch, couple of LPs, and
Like,
all right, we're gonna see what we can do. And we wanted to have a good time. And they also had a deep drop category.
Okay.
In the tournament, and we were like, okay, we can.
You guys are gonna kill it.
Yeah, we can do this because we're the Seymour guys, and everyone was kind of talking about that the night before at the captain's meeting. And Saturday morning rolls up, the wind was cranking, and everyone was running 40, 50 plus miles north of the corner. So that's really
to hit the deep drop spots
to tuna fish.
Okay.
Cause the tuna was like, the tunas were spotted like off walkers.
Okay.
And there was a couple of Freemans. There was, USP Marine. They have a 42 Freeman and thing was doing 80 miles an hour the whole time. Supposedly they ran to like Canaveral. Like the Canaveral.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. They ran to like the Canaveral buoy to find the tuna. And there was a 44 or a 41 conch that I think they ended up winning the tournament. A couple kids I know were on that boat, and they ran 100 plus miles just to find tuna. And we weren't going to do that. We ran to the corner because that's where people thought they were, and we were looking for birds. Eric got the boat refitted with all new Raymarine electronics, and he got the brand new, I forget the name of the radar, but it's top notch bird radar. And we were just
pinpoint
bird pinpoint everything, and ended up coming short on the tuna, caught some mahi. We thought we hooked a nice wahoo. It probably was just a barracuda. We were zigzagging. So it was getting later in the day. We were like, all right, we got to get some fish in the boat. And we were like, we have Seymour. We have the new Seymour Bahamas. Let's start using it. And we have numbers over there. Eric, he had a house in Jupiter, and he would run over to the corner and deep drop. And we were running back we were running south, kind of back to where the deep drop spots were, where we thought we were going to try fishing. And he has AIS on his boat, and he spotted a boat that was in front of us, and where we wanted to go, that boat was on. We were like, oh, they must have Seymour too.
Yeah.
And so we were just kind of looking around at the map, and we saw the littlest little shading relief spot on Seymour. And we were like, let's go try that. We set up a drift. We were deep dropping earlier that day. We caught some queens. We were, catching a lot of, not yellow eyes. What's the name of them?
The yellow
silkies.
Oh, okay.
Silkies. Yeah. We were catching a lot of those and some smaller queens. And we found this little divot in 1400 feet. We did a drift over it. I was at the helm. I kind of just put the boat in neutral, see which way we were drifting. And I marked a little fuzz, and I was like, all right, I'm going to get back on that line. I'll tell you when. And it dropped from 14 to like 16. So it was a pretty nice edge.
Yeah, yeah.
And Eric was up in the front of the boat with that. We had two LPs running that day, and Eric was up in the front, had the squids hooked up, and he dropped it down. And as soon as he got it down, I remember he was like, all right, I'm at bottom. And he just brought it up a little bit, and he saw one bite. He was like, all right, that's a bite. And then he saw another bite, and John was like, take it. And Eric hit the two buttons, and we were fighting the fish for maybe 10, 15 minutes. And this is the first spot. First drop on a new spot we've never fished, two 50-pound mystic groupers.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Dude, that's killer.
Yeah, two 50-pound mystic groupers. We were going berserk, and we were like, holy
crap. Those are some big boys, man.
Yeah, and same rig, everything. And one actually, you know how they kind of circle when you're bringing them up? One actually came off the hook, but since its stomach popped,
we were
able to, like, just gaff it. It was awesome. And we caught some other nice queens that day. I think we caught a 12-pound queen snapper, and we were like, okay, we can win this three fish aggregate
deep for the deep drop.
Yeah. It was, I think it was yellow eye, mystic grouper, maybe snowy grouper, and then queen snapper. And we were like, all right, we got some nice fish.
Yeah.
And we actually, during a tuna tournament, we actually decided to dive the last few hours. We were like, that's to see if we can dive. We shot some hogfish and some black grouper.
There you go. Yeah. Just, you're like, we got this in the bag.
We got this in the bag. And so it was, I think we had a check-in at 4 back in Bootle Bay, and it was about 2:30. We were like, all right, let's get on the bank and take this 33 conch. We ripped it 50-plus miles an hour all the way back to West End. And we get back to the house. Everyone was staying in Blue Marlin Cove. We were staying right across the little cut there at this little house we rented. And we were like, all right, we're going to win the deep drop category. We pull our boats over there. Everyone's pulling out tunas, bringing them to the weigh-in station. A lot of mutilated tunas because of the sharks. And that's a whole problem over there. And we were like, all right, I got the wheelbarrow. I had the two big misty sticking out and the queen. We were like, all right, we got our three fish. And we get to the weigh-in station. Everyone else had tuna. And I think there was 18 boats in the total tournament. And everyone had tuna except one boat had just deep drop. They just had LPs, and they just went over there
to deep drop.
And, of course, they had the same three fish, but all 10, 20 pounds bigger than ours.
No way.
They had two 60-pound Mystic groupers and a like 18-pound queen snapper.
Okay.
So they smoked us.
Did you find out if they were using Seymour?
Sold him the card the year prior at the Palm Beach Boat Show.
Dude, it's a win for you guys Seymour wins.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they didn't show us where they caught him, and that's their did good. They probably had some secret spots. But that's the thing with our charts. It's you can use them and look at them, but you have to know how to fish it too.
Right.
That's a whole key. And when you're diving for a grouper and muttons and stuff, you don't want to get right on top of the spot. When you're trying to hunt muttons, you want to be out in the sand a little bit. And
yeah,
that's just
cruise the edge over there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it was an awesome trip. Came up short, but those guys were using Seymour. So it was a win-win, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, man. Well, for the guys that want to get it now, you guys have it working with everything Navico, right?
Navico, Simrad, and Lowrance. They're under the same umbrella. So our charts are compatible with Simrad, Lowrance, Raymarine,
okay,
Veruno, and B&G. B&G is also a Navico group. So pretty much all the big dogs except Garmin, that's our number one question we get.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're a private company. We would love to work with them. But they just haven't gave us that chance since day one. And unfortunately, right, a lot of people have Garmins. I used to have Garmins on my boat. I love their charts. They're great for navigating, but they won't read Seymour.
That's why I have Simrads.
Yeah, that's why you get Simrads or Raymarine. And we're awesome partners with all three of the groups. And
Well, you guys now have a workaround though, right?
Yes, we do have some options. We've created the Map Pack around 4 or 5 years ago. That's our portable unit and right here. And we have three options available in those. Basically our Map Pack is a standalone GPS chart plotter, fixed mounted on a Seasucker bracket.
Okay.
And we adapted the power cable to plug into a battery pack or a cigarette lighter.
Okay.
And it comes in a travel case. So it's a really portable unit. Guys take it from boat to boat. I talk to a lot of charter captains that fish on different boats. They bring their Map Pack because not only it holds all your spots, but it shows Seymour and it's a full functioning GPS chart plotter that's going to show your boat icon at the dock, marina, side of the house. And then as you're tracking along, you can use your Garmins to navigate and read the bottom, but use our Map Pack and Seymour to find the spots. So it's really a killer combo because
is all you need.
That's all you need.
This, and then if you want to be travel portable,
if you want to use the battery. Fish on a kayak, go on a boat with no cigarette lighter, the battery pack. And it also has a home adapter so you can sit at the house and pre-plan your trips.
Oh,
so
wow.
I do trips down to the Keys with the family, and I pop it up on the desk and have a beer, and I'm looking at my lobster spots.
Yeah.
And the next day, you can go out and just, with Seymour, whether you're using our Map Pack or you're at the boat, what you're essentially doing is you're saving time.
Right.
Because now you're not going out. It takes the guesswork out. And I talk to a lot of guys, our Bahamas card, it pays for itself. All our cards pay for itself.
Yeah.
Just because you can sit at the dock, pre-plan where you're going to go, route your trip and say, we're going to try this spot, then we're going to try this spot. And not every spot's going to produce. It's fishing. But with Seymour and our Map Pack, you can sit at the house and literally say, we're going to go here first, then run 2 miles that way and just pre-plan your whole trip. It's going to save time, it's going to save fuel, and you're going to catch more fish.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I almost want to get one of these instead of using it in my native Simrad, because when I hop on other buddies' boats, I either have to go to my boat the night before, get all the numbers. Yeah, man. Yeah. I'd rather just bring this unit, just pop it on the freaking the console and just rip it and we go.
And that Seasucker, it's super strong. I fish on a 36 Invincible with right where the compass is. It's their sea deck. So I actually flipped this upside down on the radio box.
So you put it up.
Put it up. A lot of guys do that. They put it on the windshield. It can go on any hard, any flat.
And it'll hold.
And it will hold. It will hold. That's a U.S.-made Seasucker. We work well with them. And, the portable units are awesome. This is the Simrad 9. It has two card slots. So you can run up to two different Seymour cards. A lot of guys that fish South Florida, the Bahamas, Tortugas, they can have both their Seymour cards in there. And just touch of a button, switch back and
go back. That's
awesome. Exactly.
And
so,
now you have the battery pack.
Battery pack.
So now you don't even need to plug it into anything.
Nope.
So if a boat doesn't have a cigarette lighter,
battery pack.
How long does that last?
Working anywhere from 9 to 12 hours.
Really?
Which is really good.
That's all you need, man.
Takes little over an hour to charge. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's super simple.
And it even works for your electric reels and stuff.
So yeah, yeah.
You kind of want to, some guys, these slow pitch jigging, they're kind of moving all over the boat.
Right.
Now
right.
they can really, guys have purchased this to take it on like the Yankee Cap and.
Yeah, yeah. To plug into their electric reels.
Yeah, they have,
like, have it.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Yeah, there's a few different companies out there that are doing that.
Yeah, yeah. It's getting big. Yeah,
yeah.
So that's probably our most popular option, the Mat Pack, just for wide range of customers. But then we also have the Simrad processor,
okay,
which we developed a little over a year ago. Basically, the Simrad NSO Evo 3 processor is a black box. It's essentially a full functioning Simrad, just without the screen. Has all the components, and with that black box, because it has HDMI, NEMA and USB, you can take that black box, install it underneath the console or where fitted, and plug it right into your Garmin's. You have to have a compatible Garmin, the new 9000 series, the 84600, and then the 86 series. All those have HDMI slots now.
Okay.
HDMI and USB for touch. You can take the processor, install all the components into the back of the Garmin, and with an open video slot, you can mirror a full functioning Simrad on your Garmin.
No way.
So that has been a really popular option, especially a lot of these guys that are building these big high end boats.
How do you control it?
With it, it's
same touchscreen.
Same touchscreen.
So you just have a Simrad on a Garmin screen.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so pretty incredible.
We actually just did a deal with Nortec. They pick up four for every four boats. And
really?
Yeah. And CV guys are getting them, guys that are building these contenders. I was actually on the phone with International Marine. They were up on Dustin Johnson's boat installing the processor pro golfer up in Jupiter.
So you get the best of both worlds with that.
Oh yeah.
You get everything.
Everything. And it takes away having this on your dash and having wires, because that processor would be underneath the console. It's about
just hidden.
Yeah. It's about the size of an amp. So you just find place to mount it and then run it right to your Garmin's, and touch of a button, you can go back to your Garmin charts, but then you just slide over, hit the options, hit video, and then you have a full functioning Simrad right on your Garmin screen.
Yeah.
So you can use one Garmin to navigate, read the bottom, and then the other one to view Seymour and a Simrad. With NEMA connection, you're picking up exact GPS correlation. They're talking to each other. You're getting speed. You're getting your track. So it's awesome.
Garmin's going to get pissed.
Yeah. They can't do anything about it.
Really? They can't?
They can't do anything about it, because all it is HDMI and USB. And they have to have that, because when you have a camera or speakers on your boat or something like that, you need it.
Yeah. If you have FLIR or something to get into.
So, they can't do anything about it.
Good for you guys.
Yeah.
Good for Simrad.
Yeah. Good for Simrad and good for Seymour mapping. And it's proven. Guys make videos, not even that have Seymour. They just compare their charts to our charts, and there's no comparison.
Right.
Garmin charts are like Google Earth with added color. It's just the resolution is terrible. You can see that there's something there, but it's just a mound, and it's not actually showing what's there. And there's new artificial reefs that we go out and we scan. Guys send us hundreds of numbers every day. Yes, people are very protective of their numbers, but at the end of the day, they want to see what that is. They want to see what the bottom looks like. So when we do mapping projects, we reach out to our customers. We reach out via social media, and we say, send us numbers. You don't have to send us the exact number of your honey hole.
Yeah.
But if you send us a general area of where you think good bottom is, that's where we're mapping. We're not going out there and just scanning the ocean. It's a monumental task.
Yeah.
The ocean. So it's going to take time, but we want to map it all. And we want to map where guys are fishing and diving. And that's what we like to deliver as we do updates. So as we come out with updates, if you own the card, when you're a South Florida version 4 card owner and you own that card, when version 5 comes out, you'll be notified. You'll see it all over social media, and you send the card to us. You bring it into our Lighthouse Point location. You come to a boat show. You go to a dealer, and we update it to the latest version for you.
No way.
Plug and play. You don't have to stick it in a computer or download an app or anything like that. We do the updates for you just for security reasons and stuff.
Yeah.
We take your old card, and we give you back a brand new updated chip.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you constantly, as a customer of Seymour, you're constantly getting updated.
Yeah. It's almost like you do that one-time purchase, you join the club, and then you're going to get fresh new maps. Nobody else has. And a lot of guys were We're getting ready to release South Florida version 5 next month.
Okay.
Right before the Fort Lauderdale
Boat Show. It's going to be a big expansion pack, basically.
Usually South Florida updates are crazy just because we map everything from Vero down through the Keys, and we've added tons of new data from Big Pine down to Key West, from Miami up through Palm Beach, and then Vero to Stewart. We filled in tons of new areas, new wrecks, new artificial reefs, new dump sites, and that's awesome. Where we go out and map. Yeah.
In front of me, I have the Flushmaster by Seanewell. This little device simplifies the process for flushing your engines. All it takes is 3 easy steps. Plug the hose into the device, plug the hoses from the device into your motors, and press on. That's all it takes to preserve the longevity of your motors, ensuring 100% clean water is running through them. So if you want to preserve your motors, go to Seamule.com and go pick up a Flushmaster.
That's pretty incredible, man. So let's talk about you a little bit, Connor.
Okay.
What's your background in fishing and all this? And how'd you get involved with Seymour?
Yeah, it's a little unique. Born and raised in West Palm Beach, Boynton area. Been fishing and diving my whole life. Avid fisherman, passion for diving. I'm a big diver. Family was in the restaurant business since 1973.
Wow.
And when I graduated high school, I did fire EMT. But I got right into the restaurant business with my dad, my old man. He owned the restaurant, and it was a seafood restaurant on the beach. And me and my brother, we ran it till I was about 24, and then right before COVID, we as a family decided to sell it. The October before COVID, I had no idea.
Got right out, man.
We got right out in the nick of time. There you go. Yeah. It was a crazy experience.
Thank God. And
at that time, I did fire. I did EMT. I was a paramedic. It just wasn't for me. So I really didn't know what to do. I started looking at boat jobs, and I was looking into marine maintenance and yacht management. I wanted to get my captain's license. I never ended up getting my captain's license, but I reached out to a gentleman in Pompano, and he was working on boats. He just started his business, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. He called me in the next day, and I was a marine technician for 4 years, from probably 2019 to 2022, 2021. I don't really remember the dates, but I worked on boats for a while at a few different shops in Pompano, Deerfield, and kind of the mecca of boating in Fort Lauderdale. And one day I followed Seymour. I knew about Seymour. I actually used to go into West Marine and try to take pictures of numbers and stuff to go out and dive on the weekends. But
did it work?
No. People try to take pictures of like waypoints on Seymour, and you can use that waypoint, but you don't have the real thing.
Right.
So I was working in the shop one day, and John Redman, he's our national account manager, and he's actually the director of Seymour now. He came in the back of the office looking for my boss, and no one was there that day. Everyone was out on the road. I was pulling off a lower unit, and he was like, "Oh, I'm looking for your boss." And I was like, "Yeah, he's not here." I started talking with John. John's an avid diver. We really connected, and he was like, "Hey, we're moving operations from Fernandina up north in Georgia down to South Florida, which is in Lighthouse Point. That's where our office is now." And this was about 3 years ago, because in March it'll be 3 years since I started working with Seymour. And John was like, we'll reach out in a couple weeks. And I think once Eric and everyone got operations down here to South Florida, they had this new office, and they needed another hand. They were growing, and we're constantly growing. We just hired two new guys this summer. But basically they gave me the opportunity, and I've never done a sales job before, and now I'm the sales director of Seymour Mapping.
There you go.
Run the office in Lighthouse Point, and we have an awesome team. So yeah, that's how I got into it. Always had a passion for fishing and diving. My best friend, he has a 27 conch. We run over to the Bahamas when acceptable, but do a lot of fishing and diving. A couple other of my friends, they're in the sailfish circuit. They fish with Skipjack.
Okay, yeah.
Big sail fishing team. One of my good friends, Connor, also.
Did you see that last video that they catching a, they caught some, I forget what kind of billfish it was, on a banana.
Oh, on a banana, yeah. So yeah. Bernard, yeah, funny story. Bernard, Nicole's dad, my good friend, Connor, he dates Nicole. Bernard, he goes to, like, I think Costa Rica.
I think so. I have no idea where it was.
They go to like some resort that it's like a marlin camp and everything, and they get on those smaller sporties, and they'll go out there and catch 40 sailfish on fly rods, on spoons, and they did it on the banana and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, how everyone talks about bad luck banana, but
right.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Yeah. That was funny. I was watching a video yesterday with Nick Stanzik and Captain Bouncer.
Okay.
I think it was an old
great
video.
Dudes.
Yeah. Great dudes, legendary dudes. And, they were slow pitch jigging for barrel fish in the Keys and catching monster ones.
That's cool.
Yeah. And they had Bouncer with like this little Nick Stanzik. He does the crazy videos, but they had him with this little reel and
yeah.
Bouncer Smith just reeling up this barrel fish. In the end of the video, or in the middle of the video, Bouncer was talking about he thinks bananas on boats are bad luck. A lot of people think that.
Yeah.
And I think Nick Stanzik kind of made a skit of it, but he ended up putting on a banana suit, and, like, surprising Bouncer. He like got in the Freeman in the console and came out, and it was just good. It was good times.
It was bananas.
Bananas. It was bananas. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man. Well, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's your background in fishing.
Yeah.
What's any memorable catches or memorable dives?
Definitely a lot of crazy moments in the Bahamas over the past few years. I've been getting a lot more into pole spear, well, in the Bahamas, you have to use a pole spear. But my good friend Clark Appleby, who has been running over to the Bahamas, he used to dive with Miami Skin Diver and
Chris Tavera.
Yeah. Big guys. And I've been really going with them and learning a lot from them. And that's what really got my interest is big black grouper. That's what we're trying to get. Yes, the hogs. Yes, the muttons. You see the Cabreras. They don't let you get close. But every trip, it's like, who's going to get the big black? And still to this day, I haven't got an over 50 pounder, but I've had quite a few 40 plus pounders and stuff, which are awesome fish on a pole spear. But that's what really drives me to keep going back is not even to try to get the trophy fish, but it's just that I respect that fish so much, the black grouper, just because I've seen my friends just get in dog fights with them. Literally, they're think they're the toughest fish in the sea. Swordfish, anything. I think a black grouper is the toughest fish in the sea.
Badass dude. Yeah.
If you ask any other diver, especially Bahamian spear fishermen, they're gonna say a black grouper is the toughest fish to shoot. It's the toughest fish to kill.
They put like four spears in that thing, dude.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. So
then the sharks come around.
Yeah, and then the sharks are another story in the Bahamas. But yeah, 2 years ago, it was a middle of August. We did a day trip. We checked in at West End, and because we're Palm Beach Boynton guys, we run to the corner.
Right.
And which Matinella Shoal, that's Memory Rock. That's where we dive. And we had an awesome day of diving. We had Gen Viz. Clarity, and we were picking hogs, muttons, a few smaller blacks, and we were getting towards the end of the day. We usually shoot back around 4 or 5 o'clock to make it back before it gets dark. And we were like, all right, we're gonna go to one smaller spot, shallow spot. We were drained and tired, and we went to like a small hogfish spot in like 40 feet of water, and we jumped in. And I was the first one to jump in the water, and I've always thought, you jump in the water first, you have the best chance of seeing something spook or just seeing the first fish. And usually as a diver, it's like whoever sees the fish first has dibs on it to go down and shoot it. But we're all just kind of over the place, and I jump in the water and I see an absolute unit of a black grouper just cruising the edge. Little cut here. And he's kind of just right in the middle of this trough. And, I think I was the only one to spot him at first. I chased him around for a little bit, and then he kind of slivered into a hole. And I called Clark over. It was four of us that day. Scott, the other guy, one of our other divers, he was already wetsuit off. He was ready to go home. He had a pub sub in hand and a cold one. And so it was just three divers in the water. And I called Clark over, and I was like just pointing, and we were just communicating. And I went down 45, 50 feet of water, went down, had my flashlight on my belt reel, stuck my flashlight in the hole, and I just saw him parked. I couldn't see the back of his body, so I really couldn't gauge. And I've always thought that when black grouper are moving, they get skinny. They get really long and skinny. They put their fins down, so you don't really see the full size of them. Plus, you're in 50 feet of water, so you're pretty good distance away from them. And I go down, and I just see his mouth, and I knew he was a stud. Just from his mouth, I couldn't see his body. And I remember I was like, all right, I got a pretty good breath. So I loaded up my pole spear. I have billfish sniper pole spear, brawler. Nice. It's literally, it's the best pole spear on the game. And I was able to get a holding shot right in his gill plate, and the fish went absolute berserk and went all over the place, really dug itself in a hole. And I immediately opened up my belt reel. I was like, I'm not going to be able to get this fish out in one dive. And yeah. So I swam to the surface, got to the surface. I just kind of gave Clark that nod. I was like, all right, we hit him. And I GoPros were on, his GoPro was on, my GoPro was on. So this is all in footage, which is, it's the craziest video, but Clark, he got a good 2-3 minute breath hold. He was ready to go. And he went down, saw the fish. I saw him kind of crawl in the hole. Like he kind of went, I saw his fins. That's the only thing I saw. So he was really in there because that fish really dug itself in the back. And Clark put another shot in the fish, right in the gill plate, kind of same area that I got, I think a little bit closer towards the eye. And I saw Clark down there at the bottom pulling. Like, he thought he like stoned it. And
yeah.
The fish wasn't moving, he said. And he's sitting there pulling. And the fish was just wedged itself in. These grouper, they'll go in a hole and they'll just puff up.
Yeah.
They'll put their plates up and everything.
Impossible to
get them out. So he comes up, two pole spears in the hole, and the fish started going crazy a little bit. So we're like, all right, this guy's still alive.
Yeah.
And we come up to the surface, we assess the situation, and Alfredo was doing something else, the other diver that was in the water. I don't know what he was doing. So it was just us two. I get like a good 5 minute breath hold, and I was just like, all right, I'm going to go down and see what this is about. So take my dive. I get down there, belt reel line kind of just flinging up everywhere. I don't want to get tangled in it. And I'm sticking my flashlight in the hole and I'm poking at this fish. And I'm like trying to poke it to make it move, but also pull it out.
Right.
And all of a sudden, like this fish just turns on full gear, swims out of the hole. And like I said, there was that trough there. He swims out of the hole and goes into another ledge. And Clark's on the surface and he's filming me. And I'm sitting there doing this and he sees me get pulled by this 45-pound black grouper, pulls me into the other hole. And on this other hole, there was it was a ledge with like a little cave, but then there was a hole where the fish tried to swim out. And that was the last thing I wanted because there was so much already tangle and then two pole spears. So I'm sitting there holding the rock and trying to pull this fish out.
It's like tug of war.
Tug of war. It was quick. There was a 10-15 second tug of war. And all I was trying to do is turn this fish's head because it was full green, alive as hell, blood coming out of it. And finally, I pulled its head. I turned its head to me, and I just turned it in the high gear and swam up with him. And this fish was kicking down. And really cool video of me coming up, just gasping for air. And Clark came down and like grabbed my butt and pushed me. And we got to the surface, and we were like, "Oh my god!" We were high fiving. And that was probably the like best dive, and it was the most memorable dive just because it was the last spot of the day. We had some good fish, but that really sealed the deal.
Yeah.
And beautiful weather. Got home that night, filleted the fish. We waited at the kill dock. It was 45 pounds. So that's
a big black
to my day. That dude, that's my biggest black. And that was an awesome dive.
Dude, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Did you guys use Seymour that day? Fine spot.
We didn't use Seymour.
So okay. That's all right.
Good and bad thing with that is, as a diver, yes, in the Bahamas, it's endless bottom. It's Jurassic Park over there. Yes, with Seymour, it would have been awesome to find that spot.
Yeah.
But the good thing yet is we haven't mapped it yet. So my spot's still
That's
still
good. Safe. So it's just your spot, you and those guys.
It's just me, my spot. No one else knows that spot. And we'll eventually map it, and I know the owner, Eric, he wants to map more shallower, but another point, it takes a lot longer to map shallower water than it does deeper water.
How come?
Because think of it like the cone of our sonar.
Oh, it doesn't spread out as far.
So on the West Coast, we have limited coverage because of the depth. You run out of Naples 30 miles, you're still in 20 feet of water.
Yeah.
But you run out of Fort Lauderdale, 2 miles, you're in 700 feet of water.
Yeah.
So it takes yes, there's a lot of good stuff over there in which we are mapping, but it's really cool to show customers a scan we do in South Florida versus a scan we do off Tampa.
Right.
And if you look at some of our tracks, it literally looks like we're cutting the grass. We're just going back and forth collecting this data. And we're mapping where guys are fishing. There's a spot off, I want to say it's off Sanibel. It has, there's blue water holes there. It's in 40 feet of water, but there's blue water springs
okay.
shoot down 70, 80 feet.
Whoa.
And it's really cool. On Seymour, you can use the colors to determine, okay, this lighter color on Seymour is a shallow spot, but then it goes to a dark blue purple. That's going to be your deeper spot.
Yeah.
And it's just little anomalies like that. We go out and map, and treasure hunters contact us to look for planes. And
really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Over in West End, sometimes when we were diving this summer, Carl Allen has his operation going over there, Axis.
Okay.
It's crazy operation. They have submarines. They have six or seven boats just scattered. Whoa. And they're
subs?
Treasure subs. They're treasure hunting.
What are they looking for? Like Spanish treasure?
Spanish really? Treasure. Yeah. Like they have found like cannons, gold swords, chains.
Whoa.
And I think the deal is Carl Allen, he rebuilt Walkers, and I think he owns Walkers. I'm not 100% sure. I know he owns the marina and the fleet there, but I think over the years of storms annihilating that place, he rebuilt it, and he cut a deal with the Bahamian government. Let me rebuild this island, spend millions of dollars and put in millions of dollars to rebuild this marina and island. And anything I find out here, I get to keep.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
I think that's what the deal was. And those northern Bahaman waters, he's mapped and searched everything for it. And people say people diving over there just find stuff like
right.
a top end of a cannon and stuff. And you probably need a submarine to pull it out, and probably people keep it hidden. But
yeah,
they have a huge operation going over there. And when I remember when I first started, there was Discovery Channel reached out. They were looking for a couple jets that went missing off Fort Lauderdale in the 80s. It's kind of a crazy,
what?
Yeah. There was like what do you say in the service? Like,
unidentified flying object.
No, it was there was
UFOs.
There was three jets that weren't scheduled for a training operation.
Okay.
And they kind of, three guys got on a plane without any permission.
Joyrides.
And just went out and they disappeared somewhere in between the Bahamas and Fort Lauderdale was their last known location. And it was weird that all three of them disappeared. People say they all crashed or something. They were flying around and they were drunk flying. Who knows? But Discovery Channel reached out, and that was a long time ago, but they were like, oh, have you scanned these coordinates and find anything? And there's some, we have a couple subs off Fort Pierce in like 500 feet we went and mapped.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, people deep drop it for beeliners and stuff.
So, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's wrecks that are like broken up, and then there's wrecks that are halfway covered, and people find new little wrecks. And in Marathon, I have a lobster spot. I don't know if it's a little barge or it's a 20-foot boat, but it's kind of just sitting in the sand in 17 feet of water. I found it on Seymour.
Lobster there you condo. Go. Yeah, whatever. You probably, it's loaded in
it's
there.
It's loaded. And even looking at Seymour, if I were to zoom out and look at that general area, you wouldn't be able to find that wreck until you really zoom in.
Okay.
And that's what the advantage of Seymour is. The more you zoom in, the better it gets.
Yeah, you guys have like a 1 meter per pixel, right? Right.
That's something why, like for guys drifting and stuff, mutton fishing, like for example, off, I want to say it's off Key Largo. I've never fished them. The Duane and the Bib.
Okay.
Two famous wrecks.
Yeah.
A lot of people know about them. There's buoys you can anchor, you can hook onto it to dive it. A lot of people drift them for muttons and stuff. Very, very overfished, or not overfished, but very heavily fished.
Yeah.
And high pressured, lots of sharks, but off that Duane and the Bib, that whole reef or whole dotted box, you know, fish haven, they call it on a standard chart. You'll see those two wrecks, and on Seymour, you can see them in full detail. You can see every little nook and cranny of that wreck, but off of it, there's isolated rocks. There's small little divots. There's big coral heads.
Nobody knows about it.
And when I show people that area, they want to see the Duane and the Bib.
Yeah.
But I show them the other little stuff. That's what piques their interest, and that's what really gets them going. And that's just you can't fish that with a waypoint. You can't fish that with any other chart. And that's just the advantage of Seymour.
Well, there you go, man.
Yeah.
You guys got to go get Seymour.
Yeah.
It's a it's killer. It's a game changer.
Yeah, we're located in Lighthouse Point, same plaza as Papa's Raw Bar, high end seafood restaurant, right next to RJ Boyle, and right across from Chaos Rods on Federal Highway. That's our headquarters. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And then you can just check us out online. And we ship direct anywhere in the country. And yeah, we have Southern California charts all the way to the East Coast, Bahamas.
Sweet, man.
And we're doing it, and we're changing the game one chart at a time.
There you go.
See it, dive it, fish it.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
That's the motto.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming in today, dude. It was an absolute pressure.
It was awesome.
Dude, this was sweet. You guys got to go check out Seymour. They got killer stuff that's going to change the game for you fishing, for your family fishing, or if you're tournament fishing like these guys, you can go win the deep drop tournament. Yep. You can do whatever you want. All right, guys. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us on CCO's The Science of Fishing. We hope that this episode was helpful and you learned something for the next time you're wetting a line. Before we cast off, a special thanks to our sponsors, Sea Mule and Black Reef Co. Stay hooked by following us on social media at Science of Fishing and hitting the subscribe button. And if you know someone who'd enjoy this, don't hesitate to share. Until we meet again, catch 'em up.